I want to start a new series tonight and the next few Wednesdays, not quite sure how many, we'll see how we go, on responding to things that people say in the media about our faith. There's been a whole series of documentaries of late on the television, hasn't there, about religion or Christianity or the topic of God, faith, the tsunami, who wrote the Bible, the root of all evil, the moral maze. There have been all kinds of things on popular TV which seek to address or discredit some parts of the Bible or Christianity. And so I want to look at some of those over the next few weeks so that we can be helped to talk to people who are watching those programs, representative of our culture and our people, and be able to give some answer. There was one this week, wasn't there? Who saw the program Monday night, The Root of All Evil? How many people saw it? Did very many? Monday night, 8 o'clock? Nobody was watching TV Monday night at 8 o'clock. Well, there was one on, The Root of All Evil, by Richard Dawkins. There he is. He's looking a bit pink in this picture, but I think that's because my printer's run out of some ink. No, that's Hawking's with a H. This is Richard Dawkins with a D. Root of All Evil. It actually looks pretty evil in that picture, but that was a green shirt, but my computer's turned it pink. But University of Oxford, he's perhaps the best-known evolutionist in the country in terms of popular perception. Anyway, he's written books called The Selfish Gene and things like that, and he often appears on TV and in debate. This Monday night at 8 o'clock was the God Delusion, part one of this series called The Root of All Evil. He's claiming that religion and faith is the root of all evil, not money. Or the love of money, but religion. He's claiming that faith, anyone with faith, that's you, that's the Muslim, that's the Jew, that's the suicide bomber, and evangelical Christian in the same breath, that anyone with faith, anyone with something that's not just based on science, is the root of all evil in the world. That's what he's claiming in these two parts, the God Delusion. And then next week, so I'd encourage you to watch Monday, 8 o'clock next week, The Virus of Faith. I did email Channel 4 today and say, are they being repeated? And they instantly replied. I can't believe it. I've never had a reply from a TV station so quick. So they must be getting a lot of emails about it. They instantly replied within a couple of hours saying they're both going to be repeated January 22nd at 2:50 a.m. So if you're not up, you better set your video. But they're back to back. Hey? I'm not up at that time of the night, so I don't know. But in case you... I mean, we've videoed it, so you can... Welcome to borrow our video. I've also got a transcript here of the entire programme from this Monday night. So if you want to read that before the second part next Monday, I could copy these and make them available if you want. It's a transcript of the whole programme, or there and thereabouts. The God Delusion, The Virus of Faith. He's an atheist. He says in his heart there's no God. He's absolutely certain of it. He's not an agnostic. He's not in doubt. He's absolutely certain of it. The Daily Telegraph called these programs a provocative two-part film, concluding next week by evolutionary biologist Professor Richard Dawkins, championing the illumination of science over the process of non-thinking called faith. Right? So we're going to debate that in a little while. So just be thinking about that. Actually, don't be, because faith is non-thinking. So be non-thinking about that for a while, okay? Non-thinking called faith. All the way through this show, that's what he calls faith. Religion, says Dawkins, be it Christianity, Islam, Judaism, is divisive, and the childish certainties of fundamentalist belief, he asserts, are downright dangerous. You are a danger to society if you believe fundamentalist belief or faith about anything, including Christianity. And he goes around the world and tries to knock all religions as he goes. Very slick, very smooth. I did hear that Peter was shouting at the television while he was watching it. Am I right? He says absolutely outrageous things. Wild, provocative. His adjectives that he chose for people of faith through the show is unbelievable. I mean, I've just picked a few out for you. Just odd adjectives. All apply to Christians. Unthinking, irrational, lethal, dangerous, evil, terrible, believing in myths, ridiculous, insane. These are all words he uses about anyone with faith. And he just he laces these in. Not all together, so you think, oh, he's just... going off on one. He laces them into every single thing he says. So it's a real full frontal attack, but he's very eloquent, slick and smooth, and it seems a bit reasonable. And I think many people will have seen it and concurred with his message and believe that religion is dead, God is dead. So it's important for us to be on guard, isn't it? And to give some answers. So let's just start with Psalm 53. Because Psalm 53, I don't want to expound the whole psalm, but I do want to pick a few things out of it. Psalm 53 and Psalm 14 are psalms addressing the situation of the atheist from God's perspective. Now, you couldn't take this psalm and expand it to an atheist. You couldn't go to Richard Dawkins and say, please open Psalm 53. I want to speak to you. I mean, you couldn't really do that. He wouldn't accept the premise, even turning to the Bible. But for our perspective, before we go to the world and the TV and what they're saying, we always must start from God's perspective, mustn't we? It's our approach. We can't communicate every single thing we learn about God very easily, because there's lots of complex things. But it's important that in our heart we get absolutely right how God sees the situation in the world, so that we can then be translators of that message and speak it in ways that we can, in reaching out and speaking the truth about God. And this psalm describes, you might have seen the posters on the underground, have you? The fool says in his heart there is no God, verse 1 of this psalm. Yeah, I've seen quite a few of them of late in London. The train stations and tube stations, the big posters. It's actually quite provocative. You get off the train and there it is in big letters. Yes, well, and the Protestant Truth Society as well, I think. The fool has said in his heart there is no God. They're quite powerful. But this psalm picks out ways that God views atheists. Let me just pick a few things out. Verse 1. He finds them morally culpable for their lives. That's there, isn't it? The fool says in his heart there's no God. They are corrupt and their ways are vile. There is no one who does good. Now, even though the atheist denies God, God still finds them morally culpable for their lives, for their actions. Richard Dawkins has had a string of wives, as John Blanchard points out in his book. And all of them have been terribly bruised and broken and upset by the way that he's treated them. So he speaks about there being no good and evil in the universe, but he's actually, the way he has lived, he's still found before God, isn't he? Morally culpable, as we all are. God looks down. They are corrupt. I mean, we've at times have said there's no God, haven't we? So, you know, we're not throwing stones in that sense. We know about our ways being vile and corrupt. There's no one who does good. There's none of us. Christ is our righteousness. He's our Jehovah Sid Kenny, not ourselves. So God looks down. Even when people deny God, he's still... there's still a moral absolute in the universe. So it's absolutely crucial that we get that first. All our actions and sins, God finds morally, we're morally culpable for before God. The second verse, 2, God looks down on them. This is really important, verse 2. Again, Richard Dawkins wouldn't buy this. No atheist would. But look at this. God looks down from heaven on the sons of men. I love the way the psalmist writes that. Here's David saying, oh, the fool has said in his heart that there's no God. I'm king of the universe. There's no God. I'm free. God looks down on you. It's great, isn't it? It's almost ironic. It's almost saying, well, say what you want, but are you sat on the throne of the universe? You're not. Anyone looking down on you is higher than you. So you can claim what you like, say what you like. And he puts it in speech marks, verse 1, doesn't he? The fool says in his heart there's no God. This is his speech, this is his thought, but God looks down on you. You're sons of men, God's in heaven. I think God is laughing, actually, in this psalm. I really believe there's humour in verse 2. God looks down on you. You think you're big? You're tiny. You're an ant. I can squash you. God looks down on you. And he looks to see if there's any who understand. But people don't understand. There's lots, actually. Dawkins owns up in this program. There's lots he doesn't understand. But there's lots more he claims he does. Verse 3 is my third point. God views unbelief as a turning away from him. That's really important as well, isn't it? Verse 3. Everyone has turned away. They have together become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. The evil in the world isn't just a byproduct of chance or the selfish gene. Dawkins says it's not your fault when you do wrong. It's just the selfishness of your genes. You were built that way with your DNA through evolution. So actually, you shouldn't be held morally accountable. I read an article today on the internet that he wrote on January the 1st. What are we now? So 10 days ago. After he'd finished making this program, suggesting that we shouldn't jail murderers or rapists or people that commit serious physical and bodily harm. That we shouldn't jail them. Because he said rapists and murderers have not done anything wrong, they're just ill. And, you know, and he quotes Basil Fawlty. Do you remember Fawlty Towers, that episode where Basil's car breaks down and he goes out and he just whacks it with a tree? You know, and he gets angry, and he's punishing the car. And Dawkins says, well, he shouldn't be, you know, we laugh at that. He said it's a joke, but we don't punish our car, we fix it. there's something wrong, you open the bonnet and you fix it. And a murderer and a rapist, you know, they haven't done anything wrong, they just need to be fixed. So we just need to get lots of psychologists, find out where the fix is, put the fix in and let them back on the street. That's his view. That's unbelievable, isn't it? But the Bible says everyone's turned away. When we do things wrong, those that have become corrupt, it's a turning away. It's a rebellion against God. So God views unbelief not as an act of reason, but as an act of rebellion against God. That's the way God views it, whatever the atheist says. Fourth point, verse 4. God sees all attacks on Christians. He sees them. And he sees those who don't seek him all as wrong. You see it? Verse 4. Will the evildoers never learn? Those who devour my people as men eat bread and who do not call on God. Will they never learn? Won't they realize that this is not what's pleasing in my sight? Won't they realize, you know, you attack my people. You eat them like bread. You consume them. Richard Dawkins and the rest, you know, you attack my people, you know, just consume as if you like. And on this show, believe me, he churns, you know, he gets his teeth into some people, not just Christians, but others. He really goes for them with real anger and malice. He goes for them at times with his words and with his manner. God sees attacks on Christians, and he sees it as wrong, and those who don't call on him. Point five. The Lord points out here that they have got God all wrong. I think that's what verse 5 means. I'm not ever so certain, but I think this is the intention. There they were, overwhelmed with dread, where there was nothing to dread. There's a big misunderstanding. There's a big misunderstanding of what's to be feared, what's to be dreaded. Actually, God can be known, not just dreaded. You haven't got to fear religion. Richard Dawkins is terrified that faith is the evil and the danger in the world. It's the wrong thing to be afraid of. He's got it all wrong. He's got God and faith all wrong. Because he's not understood Christ and his love and his sacrifice and his beauty and his compassion. He's got it all wrong. God scattered the bones of those who attacked you. You put them to shame, for God despised them. Now, this is my sixth point. God here will scatter the bones of those who don't believe. I think this, again, this is God having a joke, because Richard Dawkins would say he doesn't believe in God because the bones prove that God didn't exist. And you see him in the show having a long walk down the bone room. He goes to the Naturalist Museum and it says on the door, the bone room, and he walks down, there's millions of these fossil bones, and he says, all these bones prove that God doesn't exist. And God says, I'll scatter the bones, those who attack my people. It's humour, isn't it? This is God, I think, foreseeing that evolution will lead some, or the theory of it, to say that God doesn't exist. I think it's God having a laugh, really, at their expense, with his holy, righteous zeal against sin. And last point, verse 6, God will restore the fortunes of his people. Here's an encouragement for us. We're under attack. We haven't got 3 PhDs to our name like this guy has. All that salvation for Israel would come out of Zion. There's the longing, that's the hope. But then notice the next phrase, when God restores the fortunes of people. Not, oh, I hope he will one day, but when he does, let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad. Get on your feet, Christians. Don't hide in the corner. It's not right that we just have this sort of defensive mentality. You know, we've got to just defend our little corner because these people are attacking us. We shouldn't be terrified by these things, because God is on our side. He will save us. He will restore the fortunes of his people. We've no need to fear attacks in that sense. Not really. We've got enormous encouragement. God is in control. He looks down upon all these people. So that's just to phrase our thoughts. I think that's how God views the atheist. But what about us? How do we speak about things like that into a world full of atheists and agnostics? How do we get the message over? I want to encourage us to use the Derek Cleave method of personal evangelism that we talked about before. That we shouldn't just do hit and run. We shouldn't ignore the subject. If somebody says, oh, we saw that program on Monday night, there's an opportunity. We can come in, have a conversation, make a point, and then be gracious. Make a point. So I want to throw out a few things tonight to enable us all to make some points. Maybe you can see the program next week. We could all video it and watch it too if we want. I can certainly do some handouts if that would be helpful. I've got a few things to go up on the screen. Just things to be able to make a point with an atheist or with someone that's seen the show and has got a point about Christianity and about faith. So we can get into conversations about life and not feel we've got to run away as those are being attacked. Remember, God will restore the fortunes of his people. I think there are loads of things in this program that we can use. It's an opportunity for the Lord to use. Already, I've already had an email in the last couple of days of people that are laying on meetings just to answer the points of this program. I'm not suggesting necessarily we do that yet, but at some point in the future we could. As I say, I've got a transcript of the programme here. It's eight pages or so, but it's everything that's said on the programme. And next week, I'm hoping, with the aid of a bit of technology over here, we'll have a few video clips on the screen, just so we can watch a couple of clips of things he says, and then we'll discuss it and look at some of the answers. But tonight, I want to make two main points about the first one, which is called The God Delusion. That, by the way, is the title of a book that he's writing at the moment that's due to come out soon this year, called The God Delusion. I've got two main points. One, this is not a balanced program. This program is not science. That's my first point. My second point is that there are massive assumptions and holes and contradictions in this program. These are my two points for tonight. First, this is not a balanced, objective, reasonable discussion. If you know, some documentaries, they give the evidence for, they give the evidence at the end, they kind of weigh it up and they leave you on the fence, don't they? Yeah? About all sorts of things. Who killed JR, you know, who shot JF Kennedy, is Tony Blair impeachable over the war? Can a lot of shows, they sort of, and then they leave you to make your own mind, don't they? This is not a show like that. This is nothing like that. It's very cleverly scripted, every single sentence, very cleverly scripted for the maximum possible attack on faith. Any faith, not just our faith, any faith. You could call this program a vendetta. In fact, some people already have. A vendetta. It's intellectual warfare against faith, with lots of malicious comments. Let me describe what one of his friends wrote about it. This is the director of the National Secular Society. Now, he's a paid-up member. Dawkins is the associate professor of the Secular Society, people who deny that we should have any religion at all in our country. Just want it to be a secular world, atheistic. They've called this an all-out attack on religion. That's what they think it is. And they said it was a powerful and timely documentary. Now, what's interesting is he goes further than a lot of his colleagues. Because I went onto the British Humanist website today. I don't hit that website very often because I don't listen to a lot of humanists. But I did go on today just to see if they had a review of it. And they did, strangely enough. Although it wasn't a review after the show. This was written before it went on. By the executive director of the British Humanist Association. This is what she says. Written before this went out. Richard Dawkins is always a stimulating speaker and a very popular one amongst humanists. He is also often very challenging, even to some of us humanists. I think most humanists believe that religion, particularly the fundamentalist variety, that's ours, religion is a source of some evils, but not all. And I look forward to hearing his conclusions. So this is the director of the British Humanist Association saying some religion is the cause of some evils. Richard Dawkins says all religion, all faith, is the source of all the evils in the world. So he goes a lot further. This is really a real attack, even further than some of his own humanists. Now, what I want to say is that we've got to be a little bit careful not just to take the opposite opinion to this, because we're actually not here. It's not our job in the world to defend faith, is it? Any faith. It's not our job just to say faith is right and science is wrong. It's not our job at all to say that. He's kind of drawing us into that fight in this book, but that's not what we're about. Not at all. Because we don't believe just in any faith, do we? We don't believe any faith is good enough. We're not trying to say to people, have a faith, be slightly religious or spiritual, and you'll be right with God. That's not our message. So we've got to be very careful not to take the opposite opinion to the humanist, the secularist, the atheist. It's not enough just to say we believe there is a God, or you need to have some kind of faith. That's not our position. But we've got to understand where they're coming from. And he lumps together in this documentary the Muslims, suicide bombers, the Jews, Christians, including Roman Catholics. He goes to Lourdes and he looks at some of the suspected miracles at Lourdes with the holy water and all of that. And he goes to a mega church in Colorado in the United States and looks at evangelical Christians. So it's pretty charismatic. It's pretty way out. Not as way out as many, but it's pretty charismatic. 18,000 members of the church he goes to. He talks to the evangelical pastor there. And he weaves all these together and he says all of them are part of the same fabric of faith. And they're all equally dangerous to the world. And he says quite openly, his aim in these two programs is to utterly discredit any kind of faith in the world. We'll talk about that in a minute. So that's one point. This is absolute attack. And we've got to regard it as that. Number two, though, there are massive assumptions and holes and contradictions in his arguments. TV can be quite persuasive, can't it? You hear a commentary And if you see things on screen that balance your commentary, then you can drink it in so easy. We've got to be really careful about television, haven't we, as Christians, when we're watching things that are just drama. And things like, we can easily be drawn in. So, for example, he does lots of things like when he's talking about how ridiculous religion is and it's got no evidence. He's walking up and down all these scientific fossils. You know, and he says there's millions of bits of evidence for evolution, and shows you all these fossils. Now, we could roll out 100 Christian scientists who could walk amongst the same fossils and show you that they don't teach evolution at all. But, you know, it's very... He talks about how faith and religions are battling against each other, and they build walls that the world doesn't need anymore. And exactly as he says that, he's walking down this little narrow road in Jerusalem with these two massive stone walls either side, and you think, oh, that's all... It's all constricting, and he uses that as a metaphor to say that we're building walls that the modern man wants to knock down. So it's... He's very persuasive, but there are big contradictions. I can imagine non-Christians watching this and being lulled into how reasonable it looks and sounds, whereas a lot of it isn't reasonable. It really isn't. But I can also imagine Christians watching it, shouting at the television like Peter and me, but not necessarily thinking through the connotations. So we need to do that. There's a number of ways you can do it. For example, just yesterday, I know Vicky's not here tonight, but Vicky works with Damaris Trust and Nick Pollard. Just yesterday, I've got it here somewhere, where is it? Oh, here we go. Posted just yesterday, written straight after the show, The Problem with Richard Dawkins' Faith by Nick Pollard. And you can download that off the internet. And it describes some of the intellectual holes and contradictions in the programme on Monday night. And it goes into a lot of detail. We won't get into all of that tonight. But there are things you can look at. I want to suggest a strategy for watching programmes like this. I've used this before. I don't know if you have. But let me just stick this on the wall. And I hope you'll find this. I found this incredibly helpful. I can't remember where I first lifted it from, but I lifted it a few years ago. And I find this really helpful, and we've used it lots of times with different groups. So can I suggest this? When you're watching religious documentaries, we need to sift everything that's said. And here are five categories you could sift everything into. Evidence that agrees or supports with the Bible, because they take things that you... That we would know and agree with, and they kind of slot it in and weave it in. And so there are things. So a few times going through, you say, yeah, I agree with that. Now, that statement, I'm okay with that. That slots into this box over here. Number two, shattering some modern misconceptions. He actually says some things against religion that we would agree with against religion, wouldn't we? Because not all religion is right. So sometimes it's good that false religion, false Christianity, things that people who say they're evangelicals do and believe in, that get criticised. For example, he talks about evangelical Christians that are the same as suicide bombers. They're prepared to kill for their faith. And we wouldn't agree with that, would we? We don't agree that bombing abortion clinics in America is right. That's no more right or righteous because it's done by a so-called evangelical Christian than a suicide bomber in Palestine. So when he says that they're deluded, he's right, isn't he? He's right. That's false. It's wrong. So I would put that into this category. It's still criticising, but it's criticising a misconception about Christian. And there are loads of those. So you can put some things into that box. Then you come to box three. Utter guesswork or false representation. Dawkins is full of this. He caricatures Christianity. It's just a straw man. You know, you say, well, they say that they're doing this, and that's a complete load of rubbish, and he knocks it down. Let me give you a brilliant example that we'll look at next week. He says over and over again in this program that faith is the opposite of science, that faith is attacking science. Now, I think if Jonathan Swingley was here tonight, I think he'd have something to say about that, wouldn't he? Because you can be a scientist and still have faith. There are thousands of them in the world. Most of the best-known scientists have ever lived that have discovered the greatest things about science were either Christians or certainly those that believed in God. But he forever says faith is against the scientific method. It's rubbish, really. And so he puts up this straw man and he keeps knocking it down. It's a false representation. So a lot of things he says you can put into that category. Then you've got number four. There are just things that people disbelieve because they refuse to believe that God is divine and supernatural. So Dawkins has got a classic one about evolution. He says it's impossible for you to jump up a cliff. If you were at the bottom of a 200-foot cliff, there's no way you could jump to the top. You just couldn't do it. Similarly, there's no way that a simple organism could become a complicated organism because that just couldn't work. It's impossible. Well, with a divine God, of course it can. God can click his fingers and say, let there be light, and there's light. It's a supernatural. Dawkins actually doesn't give any evidence at all, not one single bit, in the whole show against creation. He caricatures it and attacks it. But he doesn't. The only bit of evidence he gives is you can't jump up a cliff because that would be, he says, unthinkable. Well, why? God is supernatural. It's not unthinkable. So you can put that into that. And then you're left with this great big box in the middle. Is there actually any real evidence against the Bible? Now, I've watched the show twice, and I actually haven't found anything he said in the whole hour. That's real evidence. Not a single thing. So we've gone through that model with those five boxes, with groups about these documentaries about where Jesus was born, Easter programs, Real Faith, The Moral Maze, all of these sort of pseudo-religious documentaries. You know, is the Christmas story really right? They always put those on, don't they ever come? All those kind of... We've gone at it with that kind of approach and sifting it out. And the amazing thing is, when you use those categories, you find this box is empty. Because there isn't actually that much, if anything, that people can say, which is actually real evidence, as opposed to one of those things. I just throw that out as being a helpful way of looking at a strategy for watching these kind of shows.